grace and mercy and peace be unto you from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're meditating on today comes from the epistle lesson read before from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the blessing that the Apostle Paul prayed for his hearers and readers of his letter. He says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Someone suggested that the most sensible thing that a preacher can do on Holy Trinity Sunday is to stay in bed. Why? Because the doctrine of the Trinity is so difficult to explain, don't even bother trying. It would be a little bit like me trying to explain to you the complexities of a computer. I know what it does, but I don't know how. Probably never will. So rather than tying ourselves into knots, trying to decipher how there is only one God who reveals himself in three separate and distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each of whom is God, that's really beyond our human understanding and comprehension. I guess we'll understand this better when we're in heaven. But today we simply want to focus on what our triune God does. Basically, that he is a giving God. Okay, a giving God. A father of a little boy called Jimmy, who turned 8 years, was told by his dad, "Well, since it's your birthday, Jimmy, I want to give you a special treat. What would you like for your birthday? What special treat would you like?" He didn't have to think about it. He says, "Oh, Dad, I want you to take me down to McDonald's for some French fries." Okay, so they hopped in the car and they went down to McDonald's. And the father bought Jimmy a huge plate of French fries, a super size, and a Coke to go with it. And Jimmy was just drooling, waiting to sink his teeth into these French fries. And in fact, he started eating before his father had said a simple grace, "Lord, bless this food, amen." The father decided to be a little bit playful, so he reached across the table to grab some of Jimmy's French fries. Imagine his surprise when suddenly Jimmy put a fortress around his plate with his arms and he says, "No, they're mine." Jimmy's father was shocked. He never expected a reaction like this. Didn't his son realize that he was the giver, that he was the one who had provided these chips? If he'd wanted to, he could have taken them away by force. Or he could have gone back to the counter and bought some more chips for his son, more than he could ever possibly eat. Or he could have gone back to the counter and got his own, for that matter. He just doesn't realize, the father thought to himself, that I wanted my son to share the blessings that I gave him first. The triune God is like this father. He too is a giving God. There are quite a few examples in the Bible about human beings giving to God. Right early in the piece, we read about Cain and Abel, the two brothers, giving sacrifices to God. Then we have the example of Noah. Remember when he got off the ark on Mount Ararat, the first thing he did was gave thanks and praise to God for saving him and his wife and his three sons and their three wives. And then there was that former prostitute who poured a bottle of expensive ointment over Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with a hair. What a precious gift that was. And then we all know the story of the widow, don't we, who put her last coin in the treasury box of the temple. However, each example involves the person giving to God what has first been given to him or her by God. However, the Bible is not so much about human beings giving to God. It's more about God giving to us human beings. In the first Bible reading for today, for instance, we hear how God gave us a beautiful world to live in, a magnificent world, an incredible world, a complex world. How he gave our first parents his own image, his holy image, so that in a sense they were like God himself, perfectly holy like God. And then the Bible ends with God promising to give his children a new heaven and a new earth to enjoy throughout all eternity. And in between these, it's all about God giving. When you meditate on God's prayer of blessing for his people, for the readers of his letter, it's all about giving, isn't it? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may these be yours as a gift. This is all about God giving to us. And what makes it so remarkable is that it's all completely and totally undeserved. So we see God giving again and again and again. In the Old Testament, we see God giving freedom to his people who were slaves in Egypt. How he gave them food, miraculous food in the wilderness to sustain them for 40 years. How finally he led them across the River Jordan and gave them a new land flowing with milk and honey. How he gave them his awesome presence in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. How he kept on giving his word through the prophets to his people to lead them back from the mess that they were making of their lives. And then when that was not enough, we see God emptying himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. You know why? Because God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Just imagine, because Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, we have the amazing truth that God gave himself, who lays down his life so that we might have life with him forever. Those people who knock on our doors from time to time in pairs, those people who cover their faces with burqas, those people who have a beautiful and impressive temple in Salt Lake City, they may be lovely people, no doubt about that, but they don't know the God that I know or that you know. They all claim, you see, that Jesus is less than God. And that happens to make God a distant God. And our God is not a distant God. He did not send somebody else into this world to do his dirty work. He came himself. He gave himself to us as an infant in a manger. He gave himself to us as a servant. He gave us to himself as a condemned criminal who gave his life on the cross so that we might live forever. If we confess our sinfulness, our unworthiness, our helplessness, and trust in Jesus Christ as the one who has taken care of this eternal, terminal condition that we're born with, what does God give us? Paul says he gives us his grace. He gives us his love. He gives us his fellowship. He deigns to fellowship with us, to treat us as his sons and daughters, as his children, and all of this because of his grace. So our triune God is a giving God. Everything he gives us is completely undeserved. And so what should be our response to this amazing generosity? Should it be like Jimmy's, who wanted to keep everything for himself? Or should it be like the little boy or girl who raids his piggy bank to get the money out of it, which his parents have put in it anyway, or given to him anyway, or them anyway, in order to buy his parents a present? There was a builder who could hardly feed his family because he was so poor. Times were tough. He couldn't pay all his bills. He couldn't repair the hovel that he lived in because he didn't have the money. A rich man heard about his plight and came to him and said, "Here's some money. I want you to build me a mansion using only the very best materials." The builder thought all his Christmases had come at once. Wow, finally, I've got some money. And so he began building. And as he was building and digging the foundations, he thought to himself, "If I don't dig the foundations as deep as they really should be, I won't have to use so much concrete and I'll make a bit of a profit." And then he thought later on, "If I use cheaper bricks, the owner won't know and I'll make some more profit." And so he went on with his building, cutting one corner after the other, making a bigger profit. Finally, the mansion was completed. All the floors were hidden. You couldn't see the corners that had been cut, and the building on the surface looked fine. Time came for the builder to hand the keys over to the owner. And the rich man handed the keys back to him. And he said, I saw how poor you were, so I'm giving this house to you. That's why I told you to use the very best materials. Once again, very briefly, we've been reminded just how generous our triune God is to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has used the very best materials to redeem us from the power of sin and death and the devil, even his holy, precious blood. We Christians have his grace, we have his love, we have his fellowship every second of our life, which will continue forever and ever. And we have to confess that we do not deserve a cracker of this generosity. How are we responding to it? After listing God's generosity in his first article of the Apostles' Creed, Luther concludes, and all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which it is my duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. Is that your response? The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds always in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.